Today on Real Radio.
Did a dove land on Jesus' shoulder? No. In fact, we know one thing for sure. It was anything but a dove. The Holy Spirit came down, and just like a bird or a dove would land upon the shoulder of someone. By the way, the dove is the most docile bird in the bird world. The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus and enveloped him.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're taking a look at chapter 3 in verses 19 through 38, where we learn about Jesus of Nazareth being baptized, as well as some of his genealogy. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study called God's Pattern for Success.
But Jesus prayed openly. Three things happened when he prayed. The heavens were opened. I could go for that. The Holy Spirit came down. Ooh, I would really like that. And the Father spoke. Yeah. Hey, you know many times in the Bible when God speaks to those that are standing round about, it sounds like thunder. It's recorded in Scripture. When God spoke, all they heard was thunder. But listen, God speaks. In the hearing of all the people, they saw this happen. Connecting with the power of heaven comes only one way, my friend, and that's through prayer. By the way, this word that heaven opened, the word open means that the sky, the atmosphere, both celestial and terrestrial atmosphere, was rent. The word means pulled apart. Listen, something happens when we pray, and it's not the only time here when Jesus prayed. I think you kind of know where I'm going. Can you think of another time when Jesus prayed? And there was a rending of a curtain or the rending of the sky, so to speak. When Jesus was on the cross in Matthew chapter 27, it says that Jesus prayed, crying out with a loud voice and dismissed his spirit. And then in the temple, the veil of the temple from the top to the bottom was torn in half. Whenever we pray, access is granted. Whenever we pray, we can enter in. Whenever we pray, the heavens are opened. That's why many times in our own lives as Christians, we feel like the heavens are made of brass and we're not getting through. We need to pray and pray hard. Will you agree with me that prayer is hard? Prayer is difficult. We give up so easily. Daniel prayed 21 days and he fasted and he almost quit. But on the 21st day, the angel came. Pray. And I thought about this. The lesson Jesus shows us is to pray and to keep praying. The Bible tells us pray without ceasing. The Bible tells us pray and then pray again. But the amazing thing is when we pray, things happen, things change. And as I think about prayer, we have prayer meetings here at this church. One of the old Puritans wrote, you can always tell how popular a church or a pastor is by those who come out on Sunday. But you can always tell how popular Jesus is in that church by people coming out to the prayer meeting. How popular is the pastor in the community, or how popular is that church? Well, you just look at the crowd on Sunday morning. But then call a prayer meeting. How many of you would have come today if I would have said last week, we're going to come on Sunday and only pray? I tell you what, I'm going to do that some Sunday, just so I'll get depressed. But I would pray that the place would be packed out. Hey, we're going to pray. Come on. Do we even believe in prayer anymore? Do we really? When something happens, do we call our friends first? Something happened to you today? Did something happen to you this week? What did you do first? Did you call people or did you go to God? We don't believe in prayer. We panic. And then if we do pray, oh, is it really that bad that Jack is now praying? What happened? We should pray before something happens. We should live praying. Spurgeon says the prayer meetings are the lung of the church. We need to be praying. And I thought about this regarding prayer. What happens when we pray? When we pray, we begin to see the situation from heaven's perspective. When I pray, I see it from God's vantage point. When I pray, church, would you agree with this? We get all panicky and freaky, and then the moment we start praying, our heart rate, did you know doctors know this as a fact now? Did you know this? It's a medical fact. Our heart rates begin to slow down, and our blood pressure begins to be affected when we meditate and pray upon God's word and pray to the Lord. That's a medical fact. Not only that, when we pray, we draw closer to the source of our answer. Oh, God, answer me! That's a good prayer. Peter prayed one of the best prayers ever. He was walking on the sea. Remember, his Bible says he takes his eyes off of Jesus. He looks at a wave coming and he says, Lord, help! Pastor, I don't know how to pray. Let me help you. Are you ready? Lord, help! That's a biblical prayer. By the way, the Bible says when you come and pray, keep your words short. Do you know that? It's not how long you pray. In fact, how long you pray often tells us that you're not spending time with God alone. You got to come to a prayer meeting and take up all the time. Be direct. You know, we're so funny. Lord, I pray that you'd help me because I don't love Susie as I ought to. The Lord knows exactly how you feel about Susie. But you're, Lord, I need more love for Susie. You need to say, God, I can't stand her. I need you to forgive me. It's sin. Change my heart. Amen. He knows the truth. We need to be coming after God with a tenacity. When's the last time you heard that word? Tenacity. Tenacity. Tenacious. That sounds gnarly. Tenacious. It kind of like makes you back up. What is that? Tenacious. We need to come after God, hungering and thirsting for Him. Grabbing onto Him in prayer. Say, Jack, that's very fanatical. Yeah, it is. Yes, we need to become fanatical. But that's not politically correct to say today. Yeah, I know. You know what? I would to God that I would become more fanatical for God. Amen. I would to God that more churches, that all of us would become more fanatical about God. You want to know why? The world needs to see somebody fanatical for God. You want to know why? If the world sees us fanatical toward God, biblically fanatical, you know what that means? That means the divorce rate in the Christian church will plummet if we're fanatical for God. If we're fanatical for God, it means that our children are going to be loved more than things. If we get fanatical, biblically so, for God, you know what? We'll tell the government, stay out of the welfare program. We'll take it from here. Go spend your money on other stuff. The church is going to rise up in America and start feeding the homeless. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? We'll take care of the homeless. The churches would start buying homes and putting homeless people and getting them jobs. It's terrible. The government has had to step in because the church has stepped out. Would to God we'd be more fanatical to love one another. Amazing. So yes, it's fanatical. I need to be more fanatical. To pray more, to pray for you, to be prayed for. We need to become more fanatical. Imagine if we became fanatical biblically, how much this nation crime would go down. Because you know what? It wouldn't mean that there'd be no criminals. It'd mean that we'd be praying for the safety of our cities. Can you imagine? God will not refuse His people. Can you imagine? Those of you, I'm curious, raise your hand quickly because I'm taking up all our time. How many of you live, for example, Chino Hills? Raise your hand. Raise your hand quick. Okay, Chino, raise your hand. Okay, Riverside by any chance. Norco. Corona. Diamond Bar. Imagine if you who raised your hands went back to your towns, went back to your places, generated a prayer meeting to pray for the leaders of your community and for violence in your community. Do you think God would refuse you? We don't do it because we don't believe in it. We just talk about it. We need to pray. What's lacking in this church? A lot. How do we meet the need? We pray. We pray. Church, make it a point. Develop starting today. If you don't have a prayer life, you need to start one. To not start one, in my opinion, is to deny the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, God could get our attention in a moment. Wouldn't it be amazing Say, Pastor, lighten up, will you? Okay, I'll lighten up right now. How's this? What if God wanted to hear from us? He might say, you know, Becky, I haven't heard you pray to me in a long time. Or, you know, Johnny or Susie or Fred or Barney or Wilma or Betty, for that matter, haven't heard from you for a long time. You know, listen, don't raise your hand. Don't say anything. Just think it. When was the last time you really talked with God? What if God said, hey, I haven't heard from you for a while? You go, yeah, I know. Well, I'm not only going to want to hear from you right now, I'm going to want to hear from all of you right now. And he sends a 10.0 earthquake right now. I said, Pastor, don't. Would he have your attention? Could God decide to do that right now and be justified in doing it? And he might shake the ground just to say, oh, listen to all you crying out to me. Oh, it's great to hear from you, Jack. I was missing you. It's so good to hear all of your voices at Calvary. Why? What a huge prayer meeting. He could do it like that. In fact, listen, Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in time of trouble. So we will not fear, even if earthquakes come and mountains crumble into the sea, let the oceans roar and foam, let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. That's a verse in the Bible. God could say, I want to hear from you. And so take, you know, Gabriel, come in, Gabriel. Send Southern California 10.0. He could do it. That'd be drastic, but it'd be effective. You got to admit. It would be effective. Third thing we want to see God's pattern for success, verse 22, is obeying the voice from heaven. Obeying the voice from heaven. And the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form like a dove. Can you take out your pen and circle the word like a dove? You know what we know? Good Bible students. What does it mean? Did a dove land on Jesus' shoulder? No. In fact, we know one thing for sure. It was anything but a dove. How do we know? Because it was like a dove. The Holy Spirit came down, and just like a bird or a dove would land upon the shoulder of someone. By the way, the dove is the most docile bird in the bird world, and faithful and loyal. The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus and enveloped him. An amazing moment. As, remember, all this happens as he prays. And a voice came from heaven and said, you are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased. Obeying the voice from heaven is very, very key. All of those present would have heard this happen. We know this from the Greek wording that's used here. They all would have seen Jesus. They all would have heard this amazing moment. Why? Because the Trinity, my friend, is here celebrated incarnate. Will you mark it down? Look at it. Verse 22 is a very powerful verse. This is the Trinity. And I bring it up to you because I need to, because many cults will avoid this verse. They can't avoid it. The Son, already in Luke's gospel, the first three chapters, have already told us that he's the Son of God. We already know that he's eternal. We already know that he's come from heaven to earth. We already know that. That's the Son of God. Number two, God the Father is God the Father. Number three, the Holy Spirit descends, and it is a person, not an it. He is a person. The Bible says the Holy Spirit can be lied to. The Bible says the Holy Spirit can be made angry. The Bible says you can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel concerning the children of Israel, they angered God for 40 years in the wilderness. The Bible says that the Spirit of God came and turned on them, and he became their enemy. The Holy Spirit is a person. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, the Trinity of God. Well, Pastor, can you explain it? I can't explain it. Nobody can. And I thank God that we cannot correctly explain this attribute of our God. But the Lord God is one, says the Bible. But he manifests himself in three persons. The best I can do is if there's three of you with the same last name that live under the same roof. You have one roof, one address, one last name, but three of you are individual personalities. Each of you have access to that address. Each of you are co-equal legally. But listen, you're different in personality. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is represented here before us. And so there's this tremendous call to obeying the voice from heaven that is laid upon us as we study the Bible. And he says in verse 22, you are my beloved Son, in you I'm well pleased. And church, listen to this. This is a a quote taken out of the Messianic scriptures of the Old Testament, Psalm 2. It's Psalm chapter 2 that makes reference, verse 7, that the Lord said unto me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. That's a reference to Christ. The word means this: today you'll become my son. Today I will glorify you. It's an announcement given by God the Father to God the Son that Christ would go forth as Savior. When God says here in the scripture that he was pleased with Jesus Christ, what is he pleased about? He's pleased with the offering of Christ. That what Jesus offers is redemption for mankind. Now get this. This was lived out in typology with Abraham and Isaac. The Bible tells us that Abraham was visited by God, and God tells Abraham, go take your son, your only son, and take him to a mountain I will show you. And then, anybody remember? Abraham took two servants with him and Isaac, and they rode for how many days? 3 days. Significant. 3 days. In Abraham's mind, how long was Isaac offered up as a sacrifice? 3 days in his head. They get to the base of a mountain, and Abraham says to the two servants, you stay here. My son and I will go and worship on yonder mountain, and then we will come back again to you. That's a very faithful statement to say, because Abraham knew that his son was going to go to the sacrifice. Isaac is carrying the wood. They go to Mount Moriah, and there Isaac's his father. Here's the wood that, by the way, the son carried on his back. Here's the fire. Where's the sacrifice? Abraham says, son, God's going to provide himself a lamb as a sacrifice. Well, where did that come from? Abraham didn't even have a lamb. He was speaking prophetically. And so the Bible says that Abraham took Isaac, who's 30 years old, and lays him down on the altar of wood. Now look, a 30-year-old guy could beat up a 100-year-old guy easy. The Bible there in Genesis says that they went in agreement. Isaac lay down, trusting that the God of his father Abraham would raise him from the dead if need be. Abraham takes a knife, puts it up over his son, raises it up, and starts to bring it down. And the angel of the Lord stops Abraham and says, all right, that's it. Look, right there. There's a ram caught in the thickets. Sacrifice him. And now, Abraham, I know that you'll keep nothing from me. I think God knew that, but Abraham didn't know that. The same hill, God takes his son, wood on the back, goes to the hilltop, Mount Moriah. The altar is there, made out of a cross. Jesus willingly, without argument, goes to the cross. He's crucified. The Father provided the Lamb. It's John the Baptist. John chapter 1, verse 29 says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's a messianic statement. You are my beloved Son. In you I'm well pleased. What does that word pleased mean? In you I am completely satisfied. In what way? God the Father is saying, mankind is going to be saved. Mankind shall be saved because you're the offering and you have willingly, gladly offered yourself to be this offering. God dying in the place for sinful man to purchase for him forever redemption. I'm pleased in you that when you offer yourself, Isaiah chapter 53 says, I will be pleased with your offering and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance. And I will see that by your sacrifice, you will justify those who trust in you. I'm pleased in you. I'm pleased with you. What an awesome thing. The word also means honor. God the Father is saying, I'm honoring you, God the Son, for your work of redemption and your willingness and your obedience. Few things. God honored the Son. God the Father honored God the Son because Christ was willingly allowing himself to come to earth. The willingness of Christ to become a human being. Anybody want to answer this? How long? How long since the moment in Bethlehem's birth? How long will Jesus be a human? Anybody know? Forever. You say, well, that's cool. Listen, forget cool. He's God eternal. And he came, and as Mary was giving birth to him, so to speak, he came out in human skin, forever to be in human skin. Did you know that right now, according to the Bible, there's a man at the right hand of God the Father enthroned in heaven forever? Look, we've always been humans, you and I. We don't know what we're... We don't know anything. He was God. The Bible says because he took his riches, yet for our sake he became poor. He knew no sin, says the Bible, but yet for our sakes he took upon him the sin of us all. He didn't know what it was like to stub his toe. He didn't know what it was like to be beaten. How about this? He came in obedience to the Father forever as a human. Not only that, but he came to suffer, and he willingly came. He willingly humbled himself. None of us like that. How about this? He willingly allowed himself to be misunderstood. Do you know what it's like to be misunderstood? Isn't it painful? When you try to convey something to somebody and they misunderstand you and they walk away and the exact opposite of what you wanted to have in their heart happened. Every parent knows what that's like. You know what I mean? And we're clumsy. The older I get, the more clumsier I become. I don't mean clumsy by foot. I mean that too. But I'll go to say something and I really mean something in a really warm and loving way and it comes out wrong. I'm starting to deal with that now. It's like, man, that's not what I meant. I got my words all jumbled up. Can you imagine being willfully subjecting yourself to being misunderstood? I love you, Jesus says. And you guys, not you guys, not you guys. You guys that are listening in. Not you here. I love you. Oh, yeah. You just want me to serve in the children's ministry. I love you, Jesus says. Oh, yeah. You just want me to be an usher. Jesus says, I love you. Oh, yeah. You know what? Why are you fighting? He just wanted to tell you he loves you. What are you making a big deal about it for? You get all upset? He was just trying to say, I love you. I wasn't going to say anything more than that. I just love you, okay? Oh, yeah. Well, what do you want? That's cynical. He just loves you. Isn't it a mystery that he loves us? I wouldn't love us if I were me. I mean, if I were him. But thank God, he's not me. He willingly allowed himself to be rejected, and he came anyway. He was willingly put to death, and he came anyway. He was willing to trust the Father in everything. He grew, just like you and I grow. And then finally, you thought I was going to miss this, didn't you? Verses 23 to 38. Huh. You say you got a minute left. I know that. Look down at verse 38. It says here, and the son of Enoch, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God? What's going on here?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called God's Pattern for Success, a look at Luke chapter 3 in verses 19 through 38. And we'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. You know, if Real Radio is aiding in your growth as a believer, let us know. It's quite easy to do so. Perhaps the easiest way is to visit us at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org, and simply click where it says send us a message. Our number's toll free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And if you'd like to include Real Radio in your tax-deductible year-end giving, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. And in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.